I'll rally them.
Someone wait for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in New York with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins and the Bears, and Bing's guest, Miss Beatrice Lilly. And now from CBS Playhouse number 2, here's Chesterfield's satisfying singer of songs, Bing Crosby.
Satisfying singer of songs?
Well, you're very alliterative tonight, eh, Ken?
Well, being here in New York and practically on Broadway, I thought I should be just as clever as possible, you know.
It'd be nice if you could be even more clever than that.
I think so. Well, Bing, don't you see, satisfying singer of songs ties right in with our Chesterfield slogan, they satisfy.
Oh, I see what you're driving at, Ken. But if you really wanted to be clever, I'll tell you how you could have introduced me. I've been rambling around the country a lot lately. You know, why didn't you call me Chesterfield's traveling salesman?
Well, you're traveling, but are you selling any?
Am I selling any? I sold 10 cartons in the Stork Club last night.
What were you doing selling Chesterfields in the Stork Club?
Cigarette girl didn't show up, so I subbed for her. I did a nice little business in teddy bears, too.
Oh, no. Wonderful. Well, being outside of being cigarette girl at the Stork Club, what else are you doing around town?
That's about all I can handle, Ken. That's all I can do. That's not easy work, you know. You're on your feet a lot.
Yes, but I thought perhaps you might make a personal appearance at the Paramount Theater like Bob Hope did.
Oh, no, not me. I'm not stage struck.
You know, Bob made a lot of money at the Paramount.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I may drop by there and talk to them right after the show.
Good, but that's pretty rugged work there, Bing. Bob did 7 shows a day. It really tired him out.
It wasn't the work that Hope did on the stage. It's the Paramount that tired him out.
What do you mean?
It's those shows Bob does after he's through at the theater. That's what gets him down.
What shows after the theater?
Well, naturally, when he's finished, he jumps in a cab and he has to put on a show for the driver.
Yeah. Well, that's quite friendly of Bob.
It's friendly, and it beats paying the fare, too. Then the cab pulls up in front of the Waldorf. Bob gets out, and he does a show on the street.
Uh-huh.
Then he does a show in the elevator, one in his room, and then one out the window in case he missed anybody in the street.
Boy's always working, isn't he?
He is a busy one. Yes, he is. Okay, and I think we got a little song here. We better get busy with it. It's a very popular little novel. It's just catching on like wildfire, sweeping the country. The Rhythm Ayers are going to join me in this song from the 20th Century Fox picture, Wabash Avenue. John Scott, are you ready, boy?
Wilhelmina, about the cutest little chick in Copenhagen. Wilhelmina has all the fellas going crazy in their noggin.
In Copenhagen.
And the roses on her cheeks. And the music when she speaks. And how sweet her kisses taste. Sugar cane-ish like my mama's Danish pastry. Wilhelmina. Maybe soon we will elope in Copenhagen.
In Copenhagen.
Wilhelmina, we'll share everything, including my
in Copenhagen.
All the other girls say no, but Wilhelmina, she says nine. All the boys call Wilhelmina Willie. But I call Wilhelmina mine.
Wilhelmina, she's the cutest little girl in Copenhagen. Wilhelmina, she has all the fellas crazy in the noggin. In Copenhagen. And the roses on her cheeks. And the music when she speaks.
Ah, Wilhelmina, maybe soon we will elope in Copenhagen.
In Copenhagen.
Wilhelmina, we'll share everything, including my toboggan.
In Copenhagen.
Oh, other girls say no, but Wilhelmina, she says nine. All the boys call Wilhelmina Willie, but I call Wilhelmina
mine. You know, Ken, there are a heap of folks in this big city, and it looks the way it looks to me, most of them smoke these Chesterfields of ours.
Why, sure, Bing. For years now, Chesterfield has been the largest-selling cigarette with Greater New York's 12 million people.
Well, I guess the folks here, they know about that Chesterfield Mildness.
Folks everywhere know about that, Bing. Folks right across the country. Well, do you remember just before we left Hollywood, we were talking to Valli?
Oh, you mean the fine actress from Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, I do. She's a Chesterfield smoker. What was it she told us again?
Well, she said, since my arrival in this country, I've smoked nearly every American cigarette. And Chesterfield is the only one that's definitely milder.
Smart girl. By the way, that new picture of Valli's, The Third Man, is a great picture. Really terrific.
Oh, you mean Carol Reed's production?
Yeah,
oh,
a film about post-war Vienna. All about intrigue and zithers and things like that. You better take it in, Ken. Don't blow it, boy. Folks, you remember what Valli says, huh? Of all cigarettes, Chesterfield is the only one that's really milder. Why, you can tell that for yourself as soon as you open up a pack and you get a whiff of that milder Chesterfield aroma. Then when you smoke that pack, you'll know that Chesterfields are milder than any other cigarette. So, friends, always buy Chesterfield.
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield's over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always buy Chesterfield's ABC.
Tempo de Blues, written by Mack Gordon and Joseph Miro for the picture Wabash Avenue.
Baby, won't you say you love me? Till you do, I can't feel right. Oh, baby, if you tell me that you love me, I promise not to ask again. That is until tomorrow night. Baby, I need you beside me. Out of everything I do, to cry as much, to laugh as much, and love me even half as much as I love you.
Baby, won't you say you love me? Till you do, I can't feel right. Oh, baby, if you tell me that you love me, I promise not to ask again. That is until tomorrow night.
Baby, I need you beside me. Part of everything I do. To cry as much, to laugh as much, and love me even half as much as I love
you. One of the nicest things about being in show business is that you get a chance to meet and work with people like our charming guests of this evening. The nimble wit of this lively lady has made her a star in the International Theater and a delight in anybody's living room. If her sharp satire sometimes prevents her from being gentle people, she will always be one of my dear hearts. I speak, of course, of Beatrice Lilly.
You do?
Welcome, Miss B.
Thank you, Mr. C.
You know, it's about time we got together again. It seems a long time since we shared a mic, huh?
Yes. It has been a long time, Bing. Nearly 2 years as the cock crows. I mean, the crew craws. Or whatever that expression is.
2 years. Long time no B.
Long time no B?
Yes.
Hey, that's rather clever. If you're not used to conversation.
Well, I'm not. I hang around a good deal with Bob Hope, you know.
Oh, Bob Hope?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he that English boy who was run out of London?
The very same. He came to America, and after a long, hard struggle, he finally made bad.
Well, I'm so glad he came over here to do it. Poor England's had a rough enough go.
Say, I might be talking about England. I'm going abroad in a couple of weeks myself.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, you love it abroad, Bing. This time of year, Chicago is so delightful.
I'm going to Europe. I've been to Chicago. But I'm glad that I've had a chance now to talk to an old commuter like you.
Oh, I am an old commuter. Now, what are you going abroad for, Bing?
Well, I'm going to England for the channel swimming season, Bing. I'm going to scout some good locations along the coast and put in some drive-in grease racks.
What an interesting idea. But then you always were interested in athletics.
No, the pirate.
Oh.
Pirate. I'm looking forward to having a wonderful time in England, Bee. Just as soon as I have a little chore to do in Ireland as soon as I'm finished. By
well, what chore have you got to perform in Ireland, Bing? Mailing a letter for Barry Fitzgerald?
No, I have to go as an emissary from Paramount. I must apologize for Top of the Morning.
I saw that picture. And hey. Bing, listen, if I were you, keep out of Ireland.
I'm going to be safe, B. They'll never know me. I'm using one of Pat O'Brien's old passports.
Oh. Well, that may be even more dangerous. I understand Pat used one of Mayor O'Dwyer's old ones.
Mayor O'Dwyer, oh, that's the fellow who lives in Florida, isn't it? Well, it's a good spot for
it. But, Bing, I feel that I should give you the benefit of my knowledge of the continent and brief you on a few things.
Oh, I'm ready.
Mine?
Mm-hmm, come
now,
on.
Now, where are you stopping in London?
Well, my brother Everett took care of all that for me, B. He got me a reservation at the Wembley Plaza.
That hole?
Everett stopped there himself last summer.
Well, that didn't help it any.
Well, he said he got me a beautiful suite at the Wembley Plaza, and I'm...
Now, Bing, you shall stay in my flat in London as a guest of my aunt's.
Well, that's very generous of you, Bee, but I can't stay in an apartment with a lady.
Oh, Ollie's 87. If you breathe on her glasses, she won't even see you.
Well, she might hear me then. I shave against the grain, you know.
Oh, the dear old lady can't hear a thing. For 40 years, she's fired the boilers at Wembley Plaza. Now, let's get back to arrangements for your trip.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice Lilly, girl guide.
Exactly. And I'm about to guide you to one.
Clap hands.
Ah, to show you some of the points of interest in England, you should have a charming female companion.
Mm-hmm. Are the English girls very friendly, Bee?
Extremely. The austerity program hasn't stifled that. Now, when you're ready for companionship, telephone this number.
Let's see. Trafalgar 9633.
Ask for Millicent.
Millicent.
Tell Millicent to meet you in front of number 10 Downing Street at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Describe in detail the clothing you'll be wearing. And then be there... Promptly.
Well,
Crosby.
But how will I recognize Millicent when she shows up?
No trouble at all. It'll be me.
You?
Don't be so alarmed, Bing. You'll have much more fun with me than you would with Millicent. She's a dreadful bore.
Well, Bee, this isn't my first trip to Europe, you know. I was over there during the war, singing for the soldiers.
Whose?
The Allies.
Oh, good. But you know, Bing, things in Europe are quite different now since the war.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What's happened?
Well, European economy is strengthening.
Good.
A Hershey bar won't get you nearly what it did during the war.
Now she tells me after I packed two trunks.
Hey, you know, B, my kids gave me a list of things they wanted me to bring back from Europe.
Would I be too bold to ask what they wanted?
Not at all. Gary wants an English racing bike from England. The twins want some wooden shoes from Holland. And Lindsay, mm-hmm. That's a youngster. He wants me to bring back something from France. He wants Simone.
Well, I'm surprised the twins didn't ask for Simone.
What do you mean?
One Simone apiece.
I see.
You know, Bing, when you get to London, you might be able to do an interesting television program.
I don't think I'll do any television in England, B. I've never done any in this country yet.
Oh, but British television is far ahead of television in America.
Well, they got some good shows over there, huh?
Heavens, no. We're not that far ahead.
What? What's the big show in England these days?
The biggest man in British television is Professor Eustace Chitworth Gordon. He's the Arthur Godfrey of Piccadilly. And I must say, in Chitworth Gordon's case, they picked a delay. I must say.
You did.
Sorry, yes.
What does this man do? Does he play the youth like Godfrey?
Oh, nothing quite that strident.
Huh?
Eustace Chitworth Gordon gives a 3-hour nightly lecture on the care and feeding of the green-breasted lapwing.
But, Bea, is that entertainment?
No, it's television.
Well, there must be more than that on the British screens. Don't they have anything with a little action in it? You know, don't they have a cowboy like our Hopalong Cassidy?
Oh, yes. We have a footloose sheep herder named Saunter-along Pritchard.
Bully for Saunter-along.
One of his most famous cases was when he broke up the ring of swan nappers.
What are swan nappers?
You may well ask. Swan nappers, a band of thieves who kept kidnapping swans from the lake at Hyde Park. Saunter-along solved the mystery when he caught a fat pub keeper taking feathers out of his teeth with dental floss.
Saunter-along sounds like a rough man to run afoul of.
Oh, he's a Sherlock Holmes on horseback. Well, not really horseback. Actually, he drives a Jaguar.
A car?
No, the animal.
Oh. I say, Saunter-along sounds like a combination of Hopalong Cassidy and Sam Spade. He must be a real far-sighted fellow.
Well, you'd be amazed how far-sighted the bloke is. He has a telescopic lens on his monocle.
Oh, that's for me. I must get a monocle like that when I get to London. I also must have a derby.
Well, and be sure you don't buy a derby that slips down over your ears. Or the monocle won't mean a thing.
I'd like to see the derby. It'll slip down over my ears. But be along about here, don't you think we should plunge into song?
I'd rather burst into song.
Well, I'll plunge, you burst. What'll we do?
Well, I think we should sing that cake song.
Cake song? Which one? There's sunshine cake, then there's candy and cake, and if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked
it. Oh, it certainly has been a big year for cake, hasn't it?
This is the year that'll go down in history as the period when songwriters couldn't get out of the oven.
Well, which one will we do, Bing?
Let's do them all, huh? Let's have a mad melodic melange.
Quite.
Thank you.
We're gonna bake a sunshine cake. It's everything nice. It's sugar and spice.
We'd ought to bake us a sunshine cake. It does more good than a big, thick steak.
Well, start.
Start with a tablespoon of trouble, then.
Carry on.
You add a smile and let it bubble up.
We ought to bake a sunshine cake. It really isn't so hard to make.
How now?
Fresh tears.
A pound or two of pleasure.
Kind words.
And you needn't use a measure cup.
Any questions, ladies?
Well, then we proceed. It's not from a recipe book. And you don't have to be a good cook.
Or run to the oven and look.
It's such a simple dish.
All you do is wish.
why not? Bake us the sunshine cake.
Of course, it may keep your dreams awake.
But friends say there's nothing like the flavor.
Don't wait to do your friends a favor. And for goodness sake.
Well, what if we wait for her?
Let's bake the sunshine.
Wasn't that fun, Bee? Wasn't that jolly?
Very jolly. Mm-hmm. It's from your new picture, Riding High, isn't it?
You're a dear girl to say so. How about candy and cake? Should we get on?
Well, I'm game if you are.
Knock it. Knock it.
Angel pie, you bet confection. Sweetie pie, keep perfection.
Candy and cake. Candy and cake. Butter is as sweet a treat as eating candy and cake.
Sugar and spice. Everything nice. And kissing him once ain't half as sweet as kissing him twice.
I can be smart.
I can be wise. But oh, when he rolls his roly-poly jelly bean eyes,
I shiver and shake. My heart is just breaks. If some other love should rob me of my candy and cake, I can be smart.
Be smart.
I can be wise.
Be wise.
But oh, when he rolls his roly-poly jelly bean eyes,
I shiver and I shake. My heart is just breaks.
If some other love should ever rob me,
that would sure play hard with me. If some other love should rob me of my candy and cake,
rob me of candy.
You know something, Bee? I sang that song with Arthur Godfrey a few weeks ago.
Really? I'm surprised it's still alive.
Well, it's only convalescing. Should we bake the cake, Bee?
Oh, well, I'm ready.
These are some very special British lyrics, you know, by Mr. Tom Adair.
Good.
Okay, John.
Well, if I knowed you was a-coming, I'd a-bake the cake.
How terribly nice.
With sugar and spice, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
How do you do?
Put it there.
My word. If I knew you were coming, I'd have brewed some tea. Cream or lemon?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, with tea for two, it's tea time. Will you two time me?
Not me.
Not me.
Oui, oui. Shall we play a spot of polo?
I'd rather bill and coo.
I'm a sucker for a chucker.
Come, ducky, let's pucker.
That's not cricket.
But fun.
How true.
If I knew you was a-coming, I'd have bought a gift.
What would you like? Something like a tandem bike?
No, a dozen double damask dinner napkins, please.
Double dinner?
Double damask.
How'd you do?
If I knew you were arriving, I'd have boned a cod.
Would you have filleted a flounder?
Scaled a squad. If you'd only told me, we'd have fish and chips.
Well, pip, pip.
Carry on.
No cod.
If I knew you was a-coming, I'd have worn a shirt.
Necktie, too.
Oh, B, now let's not overdo.
Oh, I did want to wear my newest evening gown.
Low cut?
No cut.
Dear me.
Now, I may stay a fortnight.
Oh, stay 2 weeks. Don't rush back and forth.
Then I'll scurry back to Surrey, where I work for Arthur Murray, teaching Scottish to the Scottish from the north.
Ole, arriba! If I knew you was a-coming, I'd have donned my kilt.
You know, I got bony knees.
That's bony.
Please.
If I knew you were a-coming, we'd a Highland flung.
Highland fling?
Who cares?
Let's Charleston.
Rather.
How'd you do?
How'd you do?
How'd you do?
Do what?
How'd you do?
Through here someplace, Ken. How about you and me, leave us, you and me, tell the good folks how they can be their own cigarette expert.
Right thing. Well, folks, it's as easy as ABC. A,
you buy yourself a pack of Chesterfields, and you open the top up
all the way. And B, you smell the milder aroma that comes from that Chesterfield pack. You'll see that no other cigarette has it. And finally, C,
you light a Chesterfield and you enjoy this fact. Tobaccos that smell milder, smoke milder.
Yes, every man who grows tobacco knows that fact. Now, what goes into a cigarette is what you get out of it. Into every Chesterfield goes the right combination of the world's best mild, ripe tobaccos.
And out of every Chesterfield, you get a cooler, better-tasting smoke, a much milder smoke. So do me a favor, folks. Make this little test for mildness yourself.
Be your own cigarette expert.
Buy Chesterfields and enjoy more smoking pleasure than any other cigarette can give you. Second in the Academy Award sweepstakes. It was written by Mr. Victor Young and Mr. Ned Washington.
The night is like a lovely tune. Beware, my foolish heart. How white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this. They both give the very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. Her lips are much too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start for this time. It isn't fascination or a dream that'll fade and fall apart. It's love, this time it's love, my foolish heart. This time it's love, my foolish heart.
Here's to be the closer for this session. My thanks to Bee Lilly for dropping in and breaking it up with us a little here.
It was wonderful fun, Bing. Who's going to be with you next week?
Next week, Bee, Jolson's going to be with us.
Jolson?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of your boys is he?
Al, the oldest one. Also with us next week is going to be Miss Ella Fitzgerald, one of our very great singers. Oh, come on, B. I'll take you over to the Stork Club. Maybe Sherman Billings, they will gift you with a bottle of Sortilège.
Oh, that's wonderful perfume.
Oh. Very bewitching. I'll see you next week for Chesterfield, folks. The best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in New York by Domau and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Al Jolson and Ella Fitzgerald. Chesterfield also brings you Arthur Godfrey 5 mornings a week, and on Saturday night, the Arthur Godfrey Digest, all over the same CBS stations. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show follows immediately.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.